Don't look now, but the holidays are going to sneak up fast. But it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you cannot find anywhere else. The website is packed with high-quality, unique gifts that are often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists, and because they're made in small batches, the best finds can sell out fast. For example, you know those plastic baseball helmets that you can put ice cream in? They actually make those in ceramic. So they're not just cheesy plastic throwaways. They're a more permanent bowl. Ooh, who doesn't want baseball helmet ice cream? Nom, nom, nom. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. From moms and dads, history buffs, diehard football fans, or mixologists, you'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you will not find anywhere else. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zabe. That's uncommongoods.com/Zabe for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Did you know that your calendar age does not always match how old your body truly is? Your biological age and the age of your cells and organs is the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases. That's why I ordered the True Age test from True Diagnostic. With just a simple at-home finger prick, you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights. No doctor visits, no labs. Look, I'll be honest. When I learned that if your biological age is just 5 years older than your actual age, your disease risk can jump 30 to 50%. I got a little bit nervous. I mean, I'm the guy who thinks ketchup counts as a vegetable. But up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. The way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress has a massive impact on how fast our bodies age. True Diagnostic gives you a personalized report with science-backed steps to actually slow down aging. I'm kind of dreading what my results might say, but I am curious. Maybe this will finally be the wake-up call that gets me and you back on track. The test is super easy. Send in your sample using the prepaid mailer, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get your detailed report. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code ZABE to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. TrueDiagnostic.com, promo code ZABE at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.
Utah, what a one place to be.
Blessed from heaven above, it's a land
that we love. This is the place, Utah.
Paul Charchin joins us now from his new home of Southern Utah, Virgin Utah. Charch, I love this song more every damn week. Is it growing on you at least?
Not in the slightest. It is a horrible, horrible song that only gets worse with every.
No, it's getting better.
Like,
It is.
But it gives us a low point to start our conversations on. We can build up from there.
Well, I guess there's that.
Are we?
It's like angels singing. God.
Are we now? Are you going when you and I meet in Las Vegas?
Yes, to 3 weeks. He is confirmed. 3 weeks we're convening in Vegas.
25 days.
Yes.
24 from the time people hear this. Are we going to record
a podcast? Yes. Oh, for sure. We're definitely going to do at least
here.
Well, you and I are going to do a podcast at your house, and we'll definitely do one in Vegas. Mikey says there is a Packer bar that I forget the name of it. That is,
come on.
Well, we got to take the Viking to the Packer bar. It's only right. Well, you can find a Viking bar in Vegas, and we'll go to the Viking bar. Also, Mike says he can get us in at the Golden Steer Steakhouse, which he claims.
Never heard of it.
He claims it's like one of the top. Now, you having been to Manny's so often in Minneapolis and having taken me to Manny's on multiple occasions, and I thank you for that every time I get a chance to say thank you. You have a very high threshold for steakhouses. I wonder, there must be a list of the greatest steakhouses in the country, right? There's got to be a list. I'm going to find that list right now as you talk.
Yeah,
but you've never heard of the Golden Steer, huh?
I've never heard. Have you heard of the Golden Steer?
Only because of Mike. You know, he's been there in Vegas, knows a guy. You know, if it's hard to get in, then it's considered to be a good steakhouse. I've heard of Burns Steakhouse in Indianapolis. Or no, is that in Tampa? There's one in Tampa, I think it's called Burns, B-Y-R-N-E-S. The one in Indy is well known.
And I've been there. I've been there a couple of times. And they're also known for their shrimp cocktail. Correct? St. Elmo's.
St. Elmo's, I think. Yes.
Yes. It's okay. It's not Manny's. It's
no.
It's
not close. So I've got this list here, tastingtable.com. The best steakhouse in every state.
Oh, I like it.
You ready? Let's rip through them.
Yep.
Alabama, Big Mike's. Never heard of it. Alaska, Stock Steakhouse. Yeah. Arizona, the Stockyards. Arkansas, Arthur's Prime Steakhouse. California, Gwen Steakhouse. Colorado, A5 Steakhouse. A5, of course, referring to the Wagyu classification. A5 Wagyu.
Oh,
Wagyu.
Wait, whoa. Just pause there.
Wagyu.
I did not. Wagyu. I didn't. Tell me what A5 means. Are there five levels of Wagyu?
Well, let's go to Gronk and ask him. But yes, A5 is usually a reference to the highest cut of Wagyu steak. What is
I would put A1 on my A5. I don't like Wagyu.
How can you not like... Okay, A5 Wagyu. And I don't even know how you pronounce it. Is it Wagyu? Is it Wagyu? A5 Wagyu is the highest grade of Japanese Wagyu beef, renowned for its exceptional marbling, tenderness, and flavor. So if you dare put A1 on your A5, there will be a fight in the steakhouse.
That's what I want. There are a lot of people that think if they go to the fancy steakhouse, this is A5 in Denver, and if they asked for A1, nothing would happen. There should be repercussions. The answer should be no, we don't have that here. Or perhaps I could bring you ketchup, sir, if you would like. But I believe that you should be demonized for putting A1 on a top on your steak at a top tier place. I don't believe that they should automatically bend the knee and assume the customer is right.
Well, you know, the president likes his steak both well done and I believe with ketchup, which is shocking given that he is a man of wealth and luxury. And only the finest, and he likes his steak that way. Many people refer to it as nothing less than a culinary war crime to serve steak that way.
Well, good steak, yes, it is. Now, I grew up in a lower middle class household where steak was rare. Well, it was uncommon, and it was cooked well because you had to cook it well.
Yeah,
you had to burn off all the fat, and you know
it's probably the cheapest steak available. Probably hanger steak or butt steak It's like a part of the cow that's tougher and less tender. According to this tasting table in Nevada, the best steakhouse they rate is Bavette's Steakhouse and Bar, acknowledging that there's so many great steakhouses in Vegas. It's another tough one to pick, but they've given it to Bavette's. And you want to hear about Minnesota, LMN? Hold on, let me go up to the M's. Let's see if your place Manny's made it for Minnesota.
If it's not Manny's,
the whole thing is a farce, right? Okay. Up there it is, Manny's Steakhouse. Manny's hasn't just been included on the list of best steakhouses in the state. It's also gotten the nod for being among the best in the world. It makes sense. Manny's works with beef suppliers and oversees its own herds built around a bull specially selected for the Manny's Heritage Beef Breeding Program. You have a special bull at Manny's that breeds the cows to be slaughtered for us to eat. In addition to outstanding cocktails and a staff that's willing to help you choose the perfect cut of aged steak, it's a next level experience.
It is. Manny's is. I love that they found the one bull. That bull is the only bull that produces the steaks for Manny's. They've got our bull. This is the one that we want.
Did you know about that until I just read you that note?
I did.
You did.
I did know about that. Yes, and it's great. Now, they've got a huge mural of this bull when you walk in the door.
Get out.
But it predates, I've asked, is that
what's the name of the bull?
That predates the bull. I don't know if he's got a name, like, you know, Fred or something like that. That's a great question. I should ask.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so why don't we get to the sports? Where do you want to begin today on the sports front? Do you want to talk about your Vikings?
Yeah, just briefly, they announced Carson Wentz is going to start again. He was dreadful last week against the Eagles. He was the singular biggest reason the Vikings lost, and it was a one-touchdown game. He missed wide-open receivers who would have scored, spraying the ball all over the field. He looked like Carson Wentz, the Carson Wentz that we expected. Now, in a short week, the Vikings have to travel to the Chargers. They play tomorrow, Thursday, and back at the helm, Carson Wentz. Now, the controversy in Minnesota is brewing big time because J.J. McCarthy was supposed to originally miss 2 to 4 weeks. And numerous places reported that, including Adam Schefter. Then Sunday, Adam Schefter says, it was always deemed to be a 6 week
As injury. I reported, like, it was always going to be a 6 to 8 week injury. Therefore, he should be on track to possibly return by week 9. He got community noted because people dragged up his old tweet, which specifically said 2 to 4. Now, other people, not as highly compensated or high profile as one Adam Shifty Schefter, that would be me, said to you way back when, I've never heard of a 6 week ankle that wasn't broken in two and pouring out gravy.
Now, if it's, see, here's where you're exactly right. And this is not common for you. So let's celebrate. Yeah,
let's celebrate. Huzzah, huzzah. Albaldo was right.
If you have an ankle injury at the point of the injury that is so bad that it's going to be 6 weeks, you have surgery right away and you come back in four weeks.
Yeah.
The only reason it would go 6 weeks is if there was a setback that nobody's willing to say, and apparently there was.
Yeah. Well, or this is just a soft benching, that he was so out of phase with the offense that your star players, notably Justin Jefferson, said, can't work with this guy, he ain't ready. And that's why they went away from him. But, you know, Wentz is so bad. Here is one of my favorite accounts on TikTok. The top 7 worst throws of the week account. You know where this one's going. Let's go to the tape.
Here's the top 5 worst throws of week 7. Honorable mention goes to Carson Wentz. This throw to Addison is complete, but the throw is so bad it would have been a walk-in touchdown. Instead, he has to make a diving catch just to grab it. Number 5 goes to Carson Wentz, who throws the ball right at Jordan Addison's feet. There's not a defender in sight, and this would have been another touchdown. At number 4 is Carson Wentz with all these throws to Justin Jefferson on the same drive. You got the best receiver in the league, and you don't even give him a chance to make a play on any of these throws. And number 3 is Carson Wentz. It's 2nd and 25. He's trying to make a play, and he lobs it up straight to the defender for an interception. And number 2 is Carson Wentz, just a drive before getting absolutely hammered and throwing the ball right to Hunt for a pick 6. With Jalen Carter right in his face, this play never stood a chance. At number one, it's once again Carson Wentz with a genius play. He's staring at a wide open CJ Ham in the flat. Instead, he decides to throw the ball to nobody right in the ground for an intentional grounding. Definitely some high IQ plays out of Carson Wentz this week. Let me know in the comments what your favorite Carson Wentz throw was this week.
Oh my God, that's savage. I'm sure you can see some of these throws without even watching the video, right? Having watched the game.
I remember them all, unfortunately.
So, yeah. This is a sticky situation, and it's especially bad that you had both Darnold in hand and willing and ready to sign an extension, and you had Daniel Jones as a sort of a look-see, although many people are saying you can't do the Daniel Jones thing because nobody was saying at the time, oh, my God, you're letting Daniel Jones walk?
Well, no, here's why you can. Here's why you can say that, because he was inside the organization. You had 2 months to see him in practice every single day. So you knew that Daniel Jones wasn't washed. You could have seen it in practice.
Okay.
You could have seen that there was somebody to work with there. And the Colts are the best story in the NFL, bar none. I mean, if this was happening in a major media market, that's all we'd be talking about. It would be nonstop coverage of the Colts, the resurrection of the Colts. If this were happening to the Jets, for example.
Yeah.
Right? That's all we'd be talking about. This is an astounding story. The biggest success story of the year, without a doubt, is the Colts.
Right. So there is that, and then there is the Aaron Rodgers thing. Remind us why the Vikings looked sideways at Rodgers and then said, yeah, nah.
Well, I think, obviously they haven't said, and nobody's given me inside intel, except I was told that they were never never particularly interested.
Because
that they
too
were
weird,
but they
too much drama. And possibly
too
washed.
Much drama. Too much drama, possibly washed. That's exactly right. Remember last year, it was really upside down with him and, dragging Alan Lazard over to the Jets, his dead ass and, all the other stuff, right? In the podcasting, right? No, they didn't want the circus
right
in Minnesota.
But now the season has begun. There's no circus with Rodgers in Pittsburgh.
None.
He's just playing football.
You know why?
Why?
This is the distinction in the ownership and the coaching of the Steelers versus the Jets. The Steelers were never going to put up with that crap. And if Aaron Rodgers wanted to play, he was going to have to play by the rules of a legendarily stable organization
the
Steelers.
But he still went on McAfee, as I recall, leading up to him playing this summer. I don't think he shut that down.
He's not doing it every week now.
Well, that is true. I just think Rodgers, while protected under O'Connell's system and with your weapons, Lord have mercy, Rodgers could be lighting it up right now. He's playing fine. His numbers are okay. He's hitting occasional shots to DK Metcalf. I think they missed the non-crazy George Pickens on that team. Pickens has been amazing this year in Dallas. Many people are saying, he was misjudged. Others are going, no, he's in a contract year. This is what guys like this do. And I'm like, yeah,
he's getting paid every time he goes out.
Right. But let's refocus on the central conundrum for your Vikes, and that is, what if McCarthy's a dry hole? What if he was a whiff? What if he was not unlike, who did the Niners move up to draft to turn out to be a complete zilch?
Trey Lance.
I mean, it's possible. Are you worried?
It is possible. Yes. I think every Viking fan, if you're being honest, is worried about exactly that. That if J.J. McCarthy was known great, that they'd be hustling him onto the field. The fact that McCarthy hasn't been able to play more than two games in the year and a half since he's been drafted is a major bummer no matter what. And that's just the injury side of it. But there is a ton of second guessing around the Vikings. And the other part is general manager, the Vikings, for whatever reason, they had the general manager on the last year of his deal. And by the way, super nice guy, very smart, as personable as you could ever ask. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah.
Yeah.
He really, really, really nice guy that I want to have succeed. His drafts have been awful. The one thing that he's hoping that will happen is that JJ McCarthy saves his draft record. To this point, it's been really, really bad. I mean, like, astoundingly bad drafting. Right. The Vikings are still running on the fumes of Rick Spielman's drafts from 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah,
drafts still matter in every way possible, and they echo through the years. The bad drafts echo, and they linger like a stale fart. Because I know the Commanders are still suffering under 4 years of atrocious drafting in the Ron Rivera era, where they had the Marty Party as their GMs. They had like three co-GMs, and it was just bad. Are the Seahawks reassembling the new Legion of Boom? Last 2 weeks, including their win last night against the Texans, 11 sacks, 21 quarterback hits, 67 pressures. I know that everyone's like, what happened to C.J. Stroud? Well, what also happened to him Monday night late was he just ran into a buzzsaw. Like, they were running at him free.
Yep, and the Texans have one of the two worst offensive lines in football. Cincinnati's the other one. They rank 29th in run block win rate and 28th in pass block win rate. I mean, this is an offensive line that can do nothing. And the dumbass Texans, this has been a huge... So you're the Texans. I'm trying to remember the name of their GM. Give me a second here. I'm going to quick look that up. You're the Texans, and you find your way to C.J. Stroud. And C.J. Stroud looks like he is going to be your quarterback for the next decade.
Nick Caserio.
That's right. And all you have to do is keep him upright and protected, and you've got a chance in most games. But that's not the way the Texans have worked.
Yeah.
They've done all they have. They have not invested in their offensive line to keep one of the best. Same thing with the Bengals and Joe Burrow. Oh, it's so simple. God, you'd think you just give up one draft. Six picks is just on protecting your quarterback.
But even when protected, Stroud has not looked anything like he did his rookie year, to the point where some people are saying, why did he look that good in year one? Was it a mirage? Was it just a lucky year? Now, I know a guy, shout out Spence down there in Jacksonville, who's a big Trevor Lawrence fan. He loves Trevor Lawrence, even though I'm like, he doesn't do this very well. He could still be better here. He's like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear any Trevor Lawrence slander. He's a total Jaguar homer, but he has been anti-Stroud way before it was cool. Like, he has been banging on Stroud for like 18 months now. I'm like, bro, you sure? And he's like, you watch. So there's some guys who have been on it. It's just wild because you got these resurrection stories with the likes of Daniel Jones and, of course, Sam Darnold. And then the third guy who's having a huge resurrection, Baker Mayfield. You don't know when a guy is really dead as a quarterback, I guess, right?
You would think internally you should know. I mean, look at the Browns passing. Baker Mayfield decision, let him go get Deshaun Watson, looks like one of the all-time history of the league stupid moves. And maybe Baker Mayfield needed to move on. Maybe he needed a change of scenery so that he could grow up and, find his inner peace or whatever. But if you were Cleveland, how do you just walk away from what obviously Baker Mayfield's done? Now, he looked terrible on Monday night. He just played his worst game in like 2 years.
But right.
Nevertheless, Mayfield still, he's in the conversation for MVP.
Well,
going into last night's game, he was plus 400 to win MVP. It's absurd.
Plus 400 is not that great. Who's the favorite still? Is he the favorite?
No, he was like the third favorite to win MVP just last year.
Well, let me
Mahomes is still number one.
Okay.
You know football and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won. Make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit mybookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.
The Lions are back to being a problem. I think you can acknowledge that as a resident of the NFC North. The Bears are intriguing. At times, their offense is still dog shit. Their defense looked good, but then again, it was New Orleans, so you got to grade that paper on a curve if you're a teacher. But I think they're under at least professional coaching now, as it looks like Ben Johnson's got his legs under him. And then the Packers, Packers are winning ugly, and there's some idiots out there going, saying LaFleur should get fired. I'm like, they're 4-1-1. He has shortcomings. LaFleur's tactical chops in the fourth quarter of games is atrocious, but it's only league average atrocious because there are other guys who are even worse. Brian Daboll is one of them. I went through the Daboll disaster chapter and verse yesterday right here in this podcast. Oh, I was gobsmacked watching these decisions down late in the game, and I'm like, this guy is the worst. So the Daboll NFC North
that lost.
Yeah.
Let's back up for a second to the Bears. What's the fascinating thing that's happened with the Bears, and maybe it's going to turn out, Zabe, just to be a one-week blip, but it looks like he's assembling his version of Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery in DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai.
Manungai
is this rookie, like, seventh rounder who has impressed from the time he's joined the team, offseason workouts, everything else. He's finally getting his way on the field. He just put up 81 rushing yards last week, caught a couple of passes, and now it looks like Ben Johnson might be getting his 1-2 punch going. But it's only one game, so I can't read too much into it, and it was the Saints, so you never know how much of that is fact or fiction.
Right.
As for Green Bay, Jordan Love's just I really expected this year to be a big step up for Jordan Love. I used the groin excuse from last year. It just there are just these stretches where you just feel like Love is just doesn't have that ultimate command of the field that you want to see from passers when you have to rally. You need a great pass. I don't know, Zay.
I will say this.
Feel like it's all clicking.
Jordan Love are the fajitas at Chili's that are not sizzling as they come to your table. The fajitas are there. They're hot. They're just not sizzling where you can hear it from four tables over. If I told you his completion percentage this year was at a career high, would you believe me? 69%.
Just make that up. Yeah.
If I told you that his touchdowns to INT ratio is at a career high, 10-2. 10 touchdowns, 2 INTs, 69% completions. I mean, the numbers are saying he's playing really good football. It's just the fajitas are not sizzling.
Yeah. I guess maybe we've become complacent to the point that we want to see amazing things every week. We want to see Bo Nix rally his team, down 19 points.
Bo Nix, Jackson Dart, Baker Mayfield are what I call the baller QBs, the baller dude bro QBs, the white guys who run around, take hits, maybe put on a bandana or some eye black and they rah-rah the team. Right. They're fun quarterbacks. Like, they're really fun. But then there's guys who are just smooth operators. I think Darnold and Jones and Love, to an extent, are more like smooth operators. They're not the dude bro. They're not what I call the action figure quarterbacks. And, you can have both and still be good. I want to ask a simple question that is a longer discussion. Why are the Jets such a disaster? Why? Consistent, year over year, coach to coach, quarterback to quarterback. It never stops with them. Why?
No, it never stops. But, okay, obviously quarterback is point number one. Who was the last really good Jets quarterback?
Oh, Boomer Esiason, probably.
Yeah, you might be right. I don't have a quick answer to that. You might be right that we're talking. And so Boomer Esiason played.
I mean, Chad Pennington for a while was competent.
30 years ago?
Well, thank God Wikipedia is open at this hour. Here we go. Ready? Justin Fields and Tyrod Taylor are authoring what might be a four-quarterback year for the Jets. In 2023, they had a four-quarterback year. Zach Wilson, Trevor Siemian, Tim Boyle, and Aaron Rodgers all got starts. They've had three quarterback years, one, two, three, four of the last 7 years before the 2023 disaster. So you got the Milf Hunter, Zach Wilson, Trevor Siemian, Boyle, Rodgers, Flacco, Mike White, Darnold,
yuck.
Luke Falk got two starts in 2019.
Josh. How about Stewbeard? Do you remember the one great year for Stewbeard?
Oh, yes. Ryan that was 2015. Stewbeard played them all, 16 of 16. The next year he played 11, then got hurt. Bryce Petty and Geno Smith rounded that one out. Geno Smith, this is a bar bet winner here. You ready?
Yeah.
How many games did Geno Smith start in his Jets career?
I will go... I think he was, they tried him for 2 years. I bet he started half of both years, like 16 games.
One.
That's it?
2016. If this Wikipedia entry is right, and I'm going to double check it with Geno Smith's Pro Football Reference grid, one start. He was the QB savior that never was. For the New York Jets. Stewbeard in 2015 was the big year, 16-16. Geno and Michael Vick split some starts in 14. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? Okay. I can't fucking read. You're right. Geno Smith started all 16 in 2013, 13 in 2014, and then one in 2016. I looked right at it and I didn't see it. So you were correct.
30. Yeah, 30 starts. I would not, obviously I didn't guess anything close to 30. No. He had 30 starts for the Jets. Never came together.
Mark Sanchez, Greg McElroy had 15 and one in 2012. Oh. Sanchez started all 16 for 2 years in a row. I guess Sanchez under Rex Ryan with his defense when they were pushing at the edges of the Patriots dynasty in the East, that was the best they've had it. But
that was. Do you remember Darrell Revis and how dominant Darrell Revis was during that era?
So here's a question: the Giants have also been bad as of late as well. If I said I think the media environment in New York is such a huge weight on these teams from being able to operate day to day, week to week, year to year, that it's one of the more underrated, untalked about things in the NFL. Would you say, get out of here. Every city's got their own media. They're just bad at dealing with it.
Okay, it's a grinder unlike any other. But by that standard, shouldn't the Dodgers be awful? And shouldn't the Lakers be awful?
Sport to sport. Remember, the NFL is unique in that every two-game losing streak is a crisis. Oh, my God, we've lost two in a row. I'm serious. Two games in a row is all it takes. And you know, the fans drive these asinine narratives. I've seen my Packer brethren on their podcasts and on their columns have to actually dig into the should Matt LaFleur be fired thing. Granted, they're all just, you know, saying no, it's ridiculous. But even having to shovel that snow off the driveway is absurd. Like, it's the dumbest thing ever. No. He's not close and doesn't deserve it. You may not like certain things about him, but it's just dumb. I think the New York franchises, the Jets and the Giants, get battered and buffeted by the winds, the howling winds and the rough seas of NFL media and fan insanity, and they make constant overcorrections to try to deal with it, and that's why they've been so bad in the modern media era.
The pressure's higher. I would agree with that. And you are scrutinized at a level you probably aren't otherwise. But does anybody even care? Even in the New York media, do they really even care about the Jets that much?
Oh, yeah. No, they do.
Do they even care about the Giants that much?
No, they do. You got to read the tabloids, listen to WFAN. But they care about it. They relish, I think, leaning in to just how bad they are. Now, did you see this clip of the 13-year-old Jet fan that said, I hate this team. I was born into this. And he's like, I'm doomed for a lifetime, basically. This at first I like stopped and I go, you know what? This looks like it could be AI. But then I'm like, no, it's probably real.
It's probably real. That's probably real. What was the last consistently very good or even great New York sports team?
Consistently good or great?
Do we have to go back to like Derek Jeter level Yankees, A-Rod, Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Islanders were great in the 80s. that was a long time ago. It's not the Knicks, right? It's not the Jets and the Giants. You have to go back to Parcells.
Yeah. And even though I've defended Aaron Glenn, I'm going to find the kid, the Jet fan. I've defended Aaron Glenn. This was a bit of a head scratcher. Tom Pelissero reported that one day after benching Justin Fields, as his team fell to 0-7, Aaron Glenn said he is now consulting other coaches who have been in this position before deciding how to proceed at quarterback.
Oh,
I'm sorry. What? Hey, John. Yeah, it's me, Aaron. Rough year. Thank you. Appreciate that. Listen, my starter is dog shit. And just between you and me. And I went back to him this week after getting all huffy with a reporter last week about it. Like, that's a ridiculous question. And I started, Justin again. And he sucked even worse this week. So I had to bench him in the game. Now I don't know what to do. What do you do in this? What have you done in the past? Got any ideas? How do I break this to the media and everything? Here was Aaron Glenn.
Well, that's something that, you know, I want to continue to look at. Again, it's early on Monday, you know, so I said this yesterday that there's a...
Yeah, it's early on Monday, but the week comes at you fast. This league just keeps churning at you. Monday turns to Tuesday. Tuesday turns to, you better start practicing. Thursday, get your shit on the field. And then Friday, get ready to get on a plane.
A lot of thought that goes into that. For me personally, and then being able to get with the staff, and then just being able to ask other coaches that have been in the situation, but how would they handle that? So I'm not running away from the question at all, Rich. The thing is, I want to make sure that I make the right decision. And I don't want to make rash decisions either.
Okay. All right. You're asking other coaches. Woof.
That's not it. Well, okay. Maybe that's a grown-up thing to do, Zabe. You never hear coaches who are willing to admit that they seek advice. But I know, you know, like when Mike Zimmer was in Minnesota, he called Bill Parcells all the time. They talked once a week. You know, I think there maybe that is a grown-up thing to do.
All right. Possibly so.
Go to other. Now, I don't think I would call somebody in the division. I wouldn't call Mike Vrabel.
No, exactly.
Yeah, keep starting him, baby.
Right. Keep starting him. Okay. So here was the Jets kid. Kudos to X is search feature, which is getting better slowly, but surely. It's been painful trying to search for shit on Twitter. But here we go. This is the Jets kid down bad being interviewed by some social media reporter outside MetLife after yet another humiliating loss.
See if I can get your thoughts on the game.
I hate this team. I was born into this, and I'm not going to ever... I'm always a Jets fan, but, like, I hate this team.
And you have to see the kids.
I was born into this suffering.
I was born into this. You got to see the kid's face, too. It is a face of just awkward young teenager angst and suffering and embarrassment. But there he was in his alternate black Jets jersey, his alternate number 95. Who would that be, 95? Wilkinson? I'll look at this thing. Go ahead. What was you going to ask?
Did you break with your dad on any sports, you know, any sports, I guess, loyalties? Did you follow your dad?
No, you know why? Very simple. My dad was not the sports fan. Quinnen Williams is number 95. For the Jets. So he's a big Quinnen Williams fan out of Alabama. Didn't break with my dad because my dad was not the sports fan. My dad would read the sports section of the Washington Post for one reason and one reason only. the ads for the tire sales for his car on the back.
Were there?
Yes, they were always like, you know, NTW's got a good sale on radials. I might have to get in there and get them. I mean, my dad did coach me a little bit playing youth sports, but he was never and he took me to some games, but he was never the rah-rah being a sports guy. That was my mom. Still is my mom. And my mom is on absolute heater right now about these alt uniforms. What'd you think of the Chargers Bananarama double yellows?
Hated it. Hated it. It's so bad. You know, here they've got arguably the coolest, the Chargers have got arguably the coolest uniforms in football with the powder puff blue, right? I think virtually everybody loves it. That was really, really ugly. Now the Lions, I kind of liked the Lions alt uniform, and I loved the helmet, the matte black with the silver lion and the blue lion. I kind of liked that. But yeah. For the most part, I don't know what are we doing with all these?
Are we just trying
to sell more jerseys?
Yes. Yes. And unfortunately, the NFL has become way too close to the NBA. The NBA on any given night, you literally have to see the score bug to see who's playing. Because at first glance, you will not recognize the uniforms. They got the City Connects. They got the Heritage. They got the rivalries. They got the in-season tournament jerseys. I mean, it's just one after another. And I talked yesterday on the pod about how the Steelers are going to wear this faux back to the 30 Steelers against the Packers. You know, Rodgers' only game he's ever going to play in his life against the Packers, almost certainly.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a throwback jersey that borrows from the 30s and the 60s, they say. So it's, they're grabbing an element here, grabbing an element there, smooshing them together, realizing that, you know, you're doing a uniform with these high-tech helmets and the high-tech paint jobs that didn't exist when they wore no helmets or leather helmets.
So do you have any sense of the relative hype and interest in this Aaron Rodgers return to Green Bay? It's nothing
they're playing in Pittsburgh. They're playing in
Pittsburgh. Oh, it's in Pittsburgh. Yes. Oh, I thought it was in Green Bay.
I'm fascinated. It's going to be one of the highest rated games of the year. Should be a really hotly contested game. Should be a fair fight. The Steelers defense is dog shit, but we'll see. We'll see how I think it's going to be a close game. It'll have a lot of fluff to it. It'll have a lot, especially on television, of rejoins and bumpers and moments and things. And there's going to be, you know, Rodgers still does know. I think there's like 10 or 11 guys that played with him last in Green Bay. 10
that
or
are
11
still on
guys.
The team.
Yeah. Yeah. About 10 or 11.
I didn't think it was that many.
At most 10 or 11. Might be 7 or 8. But so there's going to be a lot to it. I'm looking forward to it. Now, I was going to go to it because our station had a promotion. Me and Butchie were going to go to the game, and we were going to ferry around two lucky listeners at their hotel and dinners at Primonti's and nightlife and go to the game itself and stay out in the cold and wake up in the morning and do the show. But that all ended when they went Planet Alderaan on the station.
And not just your station, by the way. There were many affected stations, tragically, that came out of that. Did the NFL had to schedule that game as a Sunday nighter before they knew for certain that Pittsburgh was going to sign Aaron Rodgers? And so the NFL took a guess on this, and it worked out great.
Yeah, either they took a guess or they knew. Somebody might have called them and said, "Bro, like, really, you're going to do it, right?" He's like, "Yeah, I just want to go to Egypt for a couple months. I don't want all this minicamp shit. I'm not doing that. I'll see you in August if I see you then." All right, let's wrap on this. I know we're going to do lots of fun stuff when I come out and visit you. We're going to have a good time in Vegas. I'm going up to see your new homestead there in southern Utah. I will do lots of things. I will not play the board game Catan, which is one of your favorite board games. Probably because you told me it takes a long time to play, right?
That one takes about 90 minutes.
Oh, that's it? Okay.
I'm going to see how many copies of Catan have been sold.
The reason that Catan is on the docket on our way out the door here is that Netflix has announced they will be developing movies and TV shows based on the board game itself, Catan. C-A-T-A-N. Now tell me what the board game is about, how you play it.
The board game works like this. Everybody, you start with one little land tile, and everybody is growing out land tiles, and you're trying to connect your parts of the map together. And there's a lot of trading of resources. You know, you might have a land tile that creates sheep. I might have one that creates wood. You need wood. I need sheep. We trade stuff like that. It's not a very complicated game. It runs about 90 minutes. What I remember is there was a Packers player. The Packers used to play it competitively for money in their locker room.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Would you care to guess how many copies of Catan have sold across the world?
A million.
45 million copies.
45.
I never thought this would happen. This is so video games went through this. You know, as a longtime video game player who always felt like this was something that you had to closet. You know, you couldn't go out there and admit you were a video game player, because that meant you were a nerd.
Right.
But then it got embraced, and now it's everywhere. And I remember the first time I saw TV commercials for video games. I'm like, my God, I can't believe we're here. We're getting video game, you know, commercials for video games. And now we've got all the spinoffs and movies and TV shows and, you know, all the other
this
stuff.
This is huge for you and others in the board game nerd community, that Netflix is saying, hey, we can make some money on this. Now, you may watch the Netflix content they create and go, well, this totally sucks. It's not true to the essence of the game, but at least they're going to give it a shot. David Bakhtiari was the guy that introduced the Packers.
That's exactly who it was.
Yes.
Yes.
He would not stop talking about his love of the board game Settlers of Catan. Yeah.
I interviewed him on a board gaming podcast. It was not my podcast. It was somebody else. Board gaming podcast. And you know what players love to do is talk about things that have nothing to do with football that they actually care about.
They're like, I'm not just a football player. And we're like, yeah, to us you are. Just fucking block somebody. I know you insist you're more than just a meathead football player, but while you're on my fucking fantasy team, that's all you are. And right now you're underperforming, so step it up.
Chop, chop, Alvin Kamara.
All right, well, there you go. Charge, I can't wait. Let the over-planning begin for our quick two nights in Vegas and then up to Utah to see the homestead. And as always, we will talk to you next week. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Talk to you next week. Bye, Zane.
Okay, so good day. Our topic today is music.
That's right, like, because my brother and I are now experts in the field.
Yeah,
eh?
Right, because we're a band now. And,
except for him.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half a million dollars to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.